Hey, I'm Tyler with the Sports Stop. You're here to listen to me talk about sports, right? Okay, let's talk. All right, happy Monday, everybody. Hope you guys had a great weekend and watched a lot of football, as there was plenty of football to watch this weekend, obviously, with the triple header on Saturday, and we had the, slate of games on Sunday. So it was a great weekend of football, and we also have the Monday night Rams and Packers tonight, so that will also be a very fun game. So we're going to cover these Sunday games. Obviously, if you want to see any of the Saturday games, I covered them in a article fashion, so if you want to go check that out, Sports Stop on some of the social media platforms that I have. So just Sunday's games. Obviously, like every single week, we're going to go through our three biggest takeaways with the macro topics and then talk about each part of the game in a micro, scopic way. So this Sunday was actually one of the crazier Sundays we've had in this NFL season. I would say this weekend was probably a top three weekend for Sunday's games, just for the fact that there were so many close games and game winners. So we're going to quickly just go through that. As a little bonus topic real quick. So obviously we had the Lions and Jets game where the Lions drove down the field, made a great play with their tight end. It was a really good game. Obviously the Jets missed a horrendous, field goal to win it or to tie it, to go to overtime. And obviously they lost 20-17 to the Detroit Lions. So the Lions are still staying in this game. And they're going to make the playoffs, potentially. I think it's going to come down to the wire, with Seattle and, some of these other playoffs teams that are just above the Lions. I think it's going to come down, the Lions, the Packers, they're starting to slowly creep into it. So let's see what happens. Obviously, another game winner we had was the Cowboys and Jaguars game. If you didn't watch that, that was a very good game. Obviously, the Jags were down quite a bit. Like mostly into the third quarter, and they really stormed back and they won it off of a bobbled pass. Dak Prescott threw to the receiver, got popped up. Jags run it in for a score on a defensive touchdown to win it. Speaking of defensive touchdowns to win it, Patriots and Raiders, potentially one of the greatest, endings we've had in the last half decade in the NFL. Obviously, some people are saying, oh my God, it's the best, ending to a game ever. I think that's just, part of the moment that they're in. I think potentially the last half decade, it was one of the better endings we've had. I wouldn't even put it in the last half decade, to be honest. But anyways, so if you didn't see it, the Patriots on the last play, obviously they were trying to do like a trick play, and it ended up being thrown to Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones then completely, stiff arms Mac Jones in the open field, and Chandler Jones runs it in to a game sealing touchdown to win the game. So that was crazy. Obviously, Jacoby Myers, the receiver who threw the ball to, or started the throw, kind of trick play. It was actually said that that was just a regular play and he tried to, make something happen, and it ended up happening in that. So obviously that really sucks. I'm forgetting a game. Oh, Chiefs. That was a pretty good game as well. Chiefs and Texans, that came down to the very end. Obviously, we're going to talk about that in a second. That's one of the topics. That's actually the first topic I have. So we will talk about that right now. So a nice little transition. So Chiefs edge out Texans in overtime thriller. So obviously that was a phenomenal game to watch. Mahomes had a great game. He was like 36 for 41. Mahomes was crazy this game. He had like two touchdowns, no picks. Very clean game. More of a bounce back game considering last week. He just had a lot of turnovers, a lot of sloppy turnovers. And the Chiefs defense came up huge, forcing a fumble in overtime and putting the Chiefs basically in field goal range to win it.
So obviously the Chiefs, I want to say the Chiefs got the ball first in overtime. They didn't do anything with it. Then the Texans, they obviously, on like the second play of their overtime, they fumbled it. And obviously that basically just put the Chiefs in field goal range off of Davis Mills, you know, run play. And that basically won it for them. If you had Jarrett McKinnon in your fantasy league, you are feeling pretty good. He had like 34 points, by far the best game he's ever had in his career. He had two total touchdowns, and he was very effective in the run game and the passing game. I believe he was like 8 for 8 on targets and receptions with Mahomes. So he literally caught all of his targets, which was great. I went against him in my fantasy league, so I'm not very happy right now. But Chiefs won 30-24. Obviously, the Texans have played really well with Davis Mills in the last 2 weeks. You know, with the Cowboys taking them to overtime, or sorry, not overtime, but a game, you know, winning drive that the Cowboys had to go on. And then they took the Chiefs to overtime. And then obviously Damian Pierce, who is the, you know, bell cow running back, who's a rookie, he is on IR, so he is not playing for the rest of the year. So if you have him on your fantasy team like I do, it feels bad. Next up, we have the Jaguars upset the Cowboys with walk-off interception. So obviously I talked about this a little bit earlier. The Jacksonville Jaguars upset the Dallas Cowboys with a walk-off interception in overtime thrown by Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, to send them home. So I wouldn't put a lot of this on Dak Prescott. He had an overall okay game. I wouldn't put that last interception on Dak at all. He actually threw it right in the hands of the receiver. Receiver kind of bobbled it, and it just kind of got volleyballed into the air for, you know, the Jaguars lineman and defensive back to go, you know, return it. So I think Dak is... I think some of the media is starting to come back and reel in on Dak of what he really is. Obviously, I've never really been like that high on Dak. I think some of the media is kind of coming down to it with, you know, Dak is kind of that quarterback. I think he's just a better version of Jimmy Garoppolo. He's more of a, if things are going right, he's a good quarterback, but he's not gonna, you know, if your left tackle's out and half your O-line's out and, you know, your number one receiver is out for a day in a game, Dak is not going to be the one to, with all that going on, propel you to that next level. Kind of what Justin Herbert's doing right now. You know, 2 months into the season, Herbert didn't really have Keenan Allen, half of his offensive line, Mike Williams, and then not even to say the defensive, you know, players that went out with injuries. Herbert's doing that despite all the injuries. He's still winning. He's still putting up points. He's getting it done. And I don't think that's what Dak is. I think Trevor Lawrence, I think he's already kind of passed Dak as a quarterback. You know, if you look at Trevor Lawrence's last couple weeks, they're like 4-1 in the last couple weeks. They're a very good team. Trevor Lawrence is thrown for like, he threw for 4 touchdowns yesterday. He threw for like 2 last week. And then the week before that, he had like 3. So Trevor Lawrence is like 10-1, like touchdown interception ratio in the last like month and a half, which is crazy. So I think you're starting to see, you know, Trevor Lawrence already, you know, taking that step up above Dak, which is, it's why I didn't think the Cowboys should have paid Dak Prescott as much as he wanted. I think Dak Prescott's more in the $38 million range, the 35 to, you know, not a $40 million quarterback. Because once you hit the $40 million range, that's when quarterbacks really, that's when you're paying the top echelon of quarterbacks. Now, you know, more quarterbacks are starting to creep into that. But when Dak signed that deal, he was, you know, only with, what was it, Mahomes. I think Mahomes was the only other quarterback that had a $40 million plus a year deal. and Dak hit that as well. So Dak Prescott, even if he's a top eight quarterback, I think he's still overpaid. Top 10, I think he's overpaid. I think Dak is more in the, you know, 13 to 15 range as a quarterback. And then if he has a really, really good week, I think he could be a fringe, you know, top 10 quarterback. I think he'd be like 10 or 11. But over a season, I think it averages out more to the 13 to 15 range for Dak, as in where he is as a quarterback. And I think, you know, the more these quarterbacks are going to come in through these next years on the NFL draft, you're going to see Dak really slowly slip down a spot more every single year. You know, with these new quarterbacks coming in like Caleb Williams, he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback, you know. And then you're also going to have every year a quarterback who slips way down in the draft who is a good quarterback as well. So I think you're going to see, you know, Dak slowly slip down, and we'll see what happens when he gets paid, if the Cowboys pay him again. We'll see what kind of market Dak has for him. I think he's a great off-the-field quarterback, but on the field, I think he's very limited. Let's talk about the Bucks and the Bengals. So the Bengals pommeled the Bucks in the second half. Tampa Bay came out swinging, taking a commanding 17-0 lead halfway through the second quarter and holding Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals under 90 yards of total offense in the first half. So Brady and the Bucks came out swinging. I think it was more about the Bengals just starting really, really slow. Obviously, that was the worst game of a, or the first half of a game that Joe Burrow has played in the NFL. So the first half and second half were completely different games if you didn't watch it. It was a good game for for a little bit, but it quickly went from the Bucks just murdering the Bengals to the second half completely flipping. In what it seemed like a quarter and a half, which I don't even think it was a quarter and a half, the Bengals just went on a complete tear. They scored like 27 unanswered points on Tampa to quickly take a 17-0 deficit to a 34-17 lead in like the fourth quarter. It was insane. It was insane. And despite the box score being 34-23, which is what this game finished with, the Buccaneers, starting going into the fourth quarter, the Buccaneers just fell out of the game completely. Once the Bengals caught up to the Buccaneers, that game was over. You just felt the momentum completely shifted with the Buccaneers. And they went from, you know, having a good feeling win potentially to just absolutely, you know, just feeling awful. Brady was 89-0 in his career when he was leading 17-0 in a game, or a 17-point lead in a game in his career. Now he's 89-1 to Joe Burrow. The third quarter just completely just went the Bengals away. The Bengals, obviously, Leonard Fournette had that weird, you know, fumble, and then Brady threw some picks and a pick six. It was just all about the Bengals in that third quarter. And the Buccaneers scored a late game touchdown to kind of make the game feel a little bit closer than it was, but once that fourth quarter started, you already knew the game was over. Joe Burrow had a really nice game. He had 4 touchdowns to 1 pick. So, really good game. Brady had 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. Not a great game by Brady. I think you're starting to see with Brady, he obviously needs a lot more help than even what he wanted and what he needed just a couple years ago, even 2-3 years ago when he joined the Bucks, like 3 years ago in 2020. He didn't need as much help, but I think he's starting to really need everything he can get as a quarterback. I just don't think he can, you know, play the same way with not as skilled players on the other team. So that's just my takeaways for NFL Sunday. Obviously, we're going to cover the Rams and Packers game tonight. So that will be a great game, hopefully. and hope you guys have a great week. And it's Christmas week. You got to be happy. Happy holidays, everybody.